campus 103.7 u Departiment tal-Istudji Politiċi u l-Governanza jistennuk għal PhD Unpacked, il-programm fejn nitkellmu dwar l-esperjenzi ta' studenti li qed jagħmlu PhD. Immexxi d-diskussjoni jiena, Dr. Mirna Azzopardi Wood. Welcome to another episode of PhD Unpacked with me, Mirna Azzopardi Wood. This week's episode is going to be in English because we're speaking to two international students who have decided to carry out their PhD studies with the University of Malta. I'd like to welcome Rawia Al-Sadrawawi, who's doing her PhD with the Faculty of Built Environment, and Vincenzo De Cancelis, who's with the Islands and Small States Institute. Welcome to the show. Let's start like we always do. Rawia, Vincenzo, how about you tell me a little bit what your PhD is about? We start with Vincenzo.
Okay, hello. Nice to meet you, everyone. I'm Vincenzo, and my PhD is about how marine and terrestrial protected areas can foster climate change adaptation and provide sustainable livelihood on islands. So the case study is actually here in Malta, with the potential of expanding it in other small islands in the Mediterranean, and it tried to address the social dimension of ocean conservation. This PhD project is actually part of a doctoral network, that is a Marie Curie doctoral network called the Mediversity, that tried to investigate within 10 PhD positions the human dimension of ocean conservation.
Very interesting. Rawia, on your end, what's your PhD about?
So it's about high-rise residential buildings' impact on small countries such as Malta and Kuwait.
I see. Because you are from Kuwait, right?
Yes. So I'm doing a comparative case study between the two countries.
Very interesting. Vincenzo, where are you from?
I'm Italian.
Which part?
I'm from the southern Italy, so I feel really connected to Malta, so culturally speaking, let's see.
So a very interesting mix we have with us today. And I mean, the natural first question is, what motivated you both to pursue a PhD at the University of Malta, of all places?
For me, it was a really easy choice. I think I was always interested in deepening my knowledge. I come from marine ecology, natural sciences, always focused on marine conservation, climate change, sustainable development. And I try to expand my knowledge, trying to address the social dimension. So I was really interested in this PhD offered by the Islands and Small States Institute that really have an interdisciplinary approach in investigating the vulnerability and resilience of small island states all across the globe.
Okay. Rawia, of all places, why Malta?
I love this question. basically, growing up in a small country, conventionally, people go abroad to go to English-speaking countries like the States, UK, Australia. However, I was fascinated by the Mediterranean and I always liked island life. So I tried my luck with applying for Malta since the weather is amazing and the language is English. And that's where I ended up.
And what were your first impressions of Malta? I mean, did you see certain similarities with Kuwait or differences?
Some similarities in the sense that we're both small societies. We have influx of expats, like we're open to other nationalities. And then there is the British influence historically. So...
Okay, that's very interesting. That's a very interesting link between Malta and Kuwait. I wasn't really all that aware of it. And as a place of study, what were your first impressions of Malta?
It's quite safe. It's comfortable. And it's a lot of fun. there's a level of comfort. I would say there's diversity.
Okay.
And there's an openness, you know, openness to different cultures. There's support from the university.
Okay. And it's very positive to be able to hear that there was a welcoming atmosphere. Vincenzo, on your end, historically, you know, the Maltese get along with Italians because of the similar culture, because of the proximity. But when you came to the university, did you find it easy to settle in? Was there a situation of perhaps different systems or the different way of doing things? Or did you find it just as easy as most Italians find Malta?
It has been a very positive experience, actually, from the first days, with the support of my institute, of course, but also with all the doctoral school, and it was easy to adapt. Maybe the bureaucracy is a bit long, but as an Italian, I'm also used to it. So very similar dynamics. But I must say that it is a nice place where to be. I was always interested in coming to Malta. It's actually my first time I came here. And it has been almost 1 year I'm here. And I really cannot complain about it, about my experience. It is a welcoming place. It is very international. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing a lot of cultures, a lot of different nationalities merging in one small place, and they are like happy to coexist in it. So it really is a good example of coexistence, and a very positive one in my personal opinion.
Okay. Well, you two are speaking, I'm remembering that I spent a year abroad living in the UK, but I had the disadvantage that I lived in one city and commuted to university in a completely other place. Where were you? Where on the island were you living, Rawia, while you were doing your PhD?
Gzira, then Slima.
Okay, so very close. And Vincenzo?
I live in Pietà, so very close too.
Very close as well. So how do you find the proximity with university in terms of developing a social life, in terms of making friends, going out afterwards? I mean, did you find it easy to kind of establish some kind of group of friends that you hang out with?
As a PhD student, the social life is a bit different, follows different dynamics. Of course, PhD are more scattered and, they have more things to do, a lot of them have family. But through the doctoral workshops, I had the opportunity to meet some of them, some international students. I have the luck to have an international PhD colleagues as well in my institute. This is from Australia, Justin. And actually, also I try to hang out with other people outside the university. So I'm a volunteer with Zibel for cleanup activities.
That's interesting.
And I have some Italian friends, and it's very well connected. So I have a lot of family and friends that come to visit. So I never feel like isolated from anything.
That's very good. And it's good that you mentioned the doctoral school. I do think the workshops go a long way into kind of creating some kind of community among the PhD students.
Yes.
Because as you said, we can be a little scattered all over the place. Rawia, from your end, what's interesting to note to the listeners is that Vincenzo is at the beginning of his PhD, whereas Rawia has just finished it. So they're at completely different ends of the PhD. And Rawia, I don't think while you were doing your PhD, were the workshops a requirement?
It happened a year later.
Yes, exactly. So I imagine that you didn't have that requirement. So how did you find ways to, build a sense of community while studying and doing your PhD?
Yeah, in the beginning, it was very challenging with the university. However, because of the size of Malta and a lot of expats, it was easy to form friendships outside.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically my social circles are outside of my field.
Okay. And what did you sign up to groups on social media? Did you sign up to events? How did it work out for you?
Yes, Facebook, English Cafe, all of that.
Good. Social media is always that is the real positive side of social media, isn't it? That it's easy to sign up to an event, go and some way, shape or form get to know new people. Let me take you back a little bit more to the university ambience and the background. In terms of support, let's start with you, Vincenzo. In terms of on the ground faculty or institute support, what's that experience been like?
From the application period, it was always very, very clear, and I had a lot of support also in the moving, also with just everyday tips. Both from my supervisor, that is the head of the institute, and the other staff in the institute, and also with the doctor. I didn't interact much with the doctoral school office, but they were always open to answer any questions. So I really didn't have any problem in settling or and trying to fix maybe some bureaucratic issues. Mm-hmm. But coming from the European Union, I think everything is facilitated also.
Yes, yes, that, that does play a major role.
Yeah.
Rawia, do you have the same experience?
Yes, we're talking about general support.
Yes, from the from the faculty itself, from the university, perhaps even more a little bit on the administrative side. Rawia, I'm sure you had a particular situation in terms of coming from outside the EU, as Vincenzo mentioned, moving to another country. In terms of the university and the faculty, did they provide the relevant support?
Yes, yes. My advisors are always supportive.
Okay.
And even when I applied and everything, I mean, it took quite a long time, but I always received support.
Yes, yes. And in terms of, so perhaps the listeners have realized that you're not in the studio with us and you're calling us online. So you've had to go back to Kuwait, right?
Yes, now I'm back in Kuwait because it's my last year.
Mm-hmm.
And my residency expired, so I had to exit EU and re-enter Malta with a tourist visa,
mm-hmm.
instead of the student's residency.
Okay.
And it was a bit sudden, not really planned. I mean, I'm responsible for it also,
mm-hmm.
but it would have been more fun if I had stayed until the visa.
Yes. All right. So there's this... like you mentioned, it was a little sudden. For the interest of the listeners here, this program is pre-recorded. When is your viva planned, Rawia?
Sometime in September.
I see. So when this program airs, you will have just done your viva. So what's it like? What's the experience like of preparing for your viva? I mean, definitely we've got the facilities of online calls, but preparing for your viva while not necessarily in close proximity to your university, to your supervisor, how are you feeling?
I mean, I'm not married. I never got pregnant, but it's like a pregnancy.
I have heard this comparison made before, like a very, very long pregnancy. We've had an episode, a previous episode, that talked about the preparation for the viva, the very nervous feeling. Vincenzo, you have a long way to go. That's a good thing. You have lots of time to prepare. But Rawia's, it's imminent for her. How are you preparing for the viva?
I've attended some of the workshops with the title "Preparing for the Viva."
Very aptly named.
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Okay,
but the simple advice they tell us is mm-hmm. you know your project more than anyone else.
Yes,
in the
yes.
committee. So
that's very true, actually. There is nobody who is a better expert in that topic in that given point in time than you. What else? What else kind of other advice did they give?
Be prepared, be confident, dress nicely, and go.
Little things, I think, that make a big difference. Yes, so for example, yes, this dressing nicely. I mean, at the end of the day, it is the defense of your thesis. I do think that they look for a little bit of professionalism. I'm sort of midway through my PhD. I'm 3 years in out of six. And so for me, it still feels like it's a long way ahead. But whenever I think of the months before my viva, I just imagine myself panicking and reading as much as I possibly can the latest articles on the topic, worried that they're going to ask me about the one article that I didn't read. Is that perhaps what you're doing, or is it a little different given that it's a thesis on based around architecture and based around the built environment?
Actually, yes, because research is constantly updated, and I do have this worry. However, I'll just explain what happened and when, and try to educate myself before going in. And, you know, like we do the best we can, and that's it.
Yes, that's really, I think, the best way to look at it. Vincenzo, on your end, you're like I mentioned, you're right at the beginning. You know, you're in your first year.
Yep.
All right. So how is it feeling when you look ahead, especially committing to living in a foreign country for so long?
Yeah, now I'm right in the middle of the literature review. So also I'm reading. I think the reading is the main activities during these days. But I think I'm excited about the future. I'm also trying to attend conferences and events abroad. I just came back from the United Nations conference on the ocean in Nice in France, where I represented my institute. So it's a way to, I don't know, to be active. Mm-hmm. And it actually excites me to do more, excites me to search more, excites me to confront with other people and know other people, other perspective. So I'm looking at the future 2 years with the excitement, interest, and also I will have the possibility to do a secondment abroad in the other partners of the doctoral network. So I'm looking at the future with actually so much interest, and I'm excited about it.
Okay, so you mentioned so many interesting things. So one of the main reasons I wanted to do an episode purely dedicated to international students at the University of Malta is because while you were experiencing very unique issues, you know, perhaps a language barrier, a culture barrier, you know, fitting into another country, there are absolutely a lot of similarities with everybody else doing a PhD, whether local, whether international. And Rawia, for example, was talking about the issue of the nervousness of building up to the Viva, which we've talked about in previous episodes. You mentioned attending conferences, which, again, we've had a whole episode dedicated to that aspect. So can you walk me through how you set up for this conference, how you prepared yourself, the presentation perhaps that you made? How did you first find out about the conference? Let's start with that.
Okay, the doctoral network I'm part of is pretty active on sharing between all us PhD and the supervisors opportunities. Mm-hmm. So we agree more or less on the direction we want to go. And for example, I attended also the research expo here at the University of Malta. I presented a poster. It was very exciting because it was my first one.
Very good.
I had the opportunity to attend also the University Maritime Platform conference. It was also interesting because it's very related to my research. And it's just also a way to, I think, feel part of a community. So yes. To understand that what we are doing, I'm working in environmental protection, environmental conservation. And sometimes you feel alone in fighting against something that many, big part of the population, we can say, maybe doesn't know about or do not care. So I think attending these events foster a sense of community and actually makes you want to continue your work and your research. So it's actually a good push. But of course, you have to manage the time and with all the other priorities of research and the schedule, let's say.
This has been the really recurring issue whenever I speak to any PhD student, whenever I speak to my supervisors. They really emphasize the sense of community because it's true. The PhD experience can be a little isolating. Another aspect that we've had a whole episode about, the isolation factor. And so reaching out to these networks, as you mentioned, is very, very important. I wanted to ask you one other thing. You mentioned the secondment. Well, what did you mean by that?
Basically, it's a period of 6 months. Maybe I can split it in two or three parts, but that I have to carry out in another associated partner of the consortium. Mm-hmm. That are all based in the Mediterranean basin. So there are this doctoral network is composed by Malta, Milan, the Institut Jean Nicod in France, the Balearic University in Spain, the Aegean University in Greece, and the Kotor University in Montenegro. I think I said them all. Yeah. There are six countries in with 10 PhD positions. So all of us have to move during their PhD for 6 months at least. That will expand our scope of research. So maybe I will have the opportunity to build my other comparative case studies, probably between Italy and Spain.
That's really interesting. It would be, I think, very beneficial if somehow all PhD candidates had this opportunity, naturally, if work and commitments allow.
I can mention also in Italy is actually mandatory that every PhD student does 3 months period abroad. but it's also received some parts of financial funds to carry it out abroad.
This is very interesting. Maybe we can make this proposal to the doctoral school and to the University of Malta. We're slowly starting to run out of time a little bit, but I did want to ask, how has being in Malta, how has carrying out the research in Malta affected, you think, your way forward? Rawia, you're very close to the Viva. How has this experience, you know, influenced you as a researcher, as an academic, and naturally, you know, the next step? I'm not sure if you plan to work in an area related to your PhD or if you plan to venture off into something new, but definitely this has influenced you in some way, shape or form.
Yes. For me, I had to come to Malta because it's the main location of the research case study. Okay, it's true, it's comparative between Malta and Kuwait, but the main context, let's say, it's Malta. So I had to go there, I had to live, understand the context, experience socializing with people. So this definitely helped inspire many aspects of the research. But as for career plans, I'm leaving the door open and I'm just going to go with the flow.
So let me clarify something. What came first? What came first, the chicken or the egg? What came first, choosing the University of Malta or the title? Or was it the other way around? The title came first? Because the way you made it sound, it's as if you decided to conduct research comparing Kuwait and Malta, and then as a result, you chose the University of Malta. Was that what happened, or was it the other way around?
Okay, I'll tell you the summary of the story.
Sure, sure.
Basically, in Kuwait, we have housing issues that people prefer to live in villas and houses over apartments. And we're a small country. We're limited by a long coast and oil reserves, so we have housing issues. So I wanted to do my PhD on this topic. And then when I applied to Malta, they proposed to me, how about you also do a research on Malta?
I see.
And then I brought it in the picture. And then I'm just in love with the island right now. So
that's nice. So in a way, it kind of happened at the same time. So there was no chicken, there was no egg. It just all happened at the same time.
Yes.
Vincenzo, on your part, I mean, you're dealing with marine and terrestrial life, and it has to help the fact that it's so easy to, you know, see and touch the specimens that you're studying so close. So how has living on an island, specifically Malta, influenced your research? Has it even, you know, culturally, has there been a bit of a shift?
Yeah, as you mentioned, being on a small island really helps my research. It is about small islands. So, yeah, it really confirmed my idea that you cannot address a topic without considering all the factors associated. So, especially in a small island context, everything is so interconnected: environment, culture, architecture,
exactly,
History, food. Every aspect is so interconnected that you cannot look at only one. And so this really confirmed my idea of research and my willingness to explore this interdisciplinary approach.
Okay, but very interesting. I ask the same question to everyone who's on the show. It's a way to round off the discussion. Vincenzo, how do you think your research is going to impact the wider community? Every PhD research has a massive impact, but how is yours going to specifically?
I'll try to maybe make people more aware of the fact that protecting the environment, respecting it, understanding it, doesn't mean like only protecting the beauty of nature or like just a beautiful landscape, but means providing actually benefits to the own population. So protecting nature means providing socioeconomic benefits, means providing climate resilience, means providing an escape from the city, an escape from the everyday life. And I think in a context like Malta, where that has very urbanized parts, protecting nature is fundamental to protect the whole socio-ecological context in which it's embedded.
That's really interesting. Rauya, on your part, how is you... in Rauya's case, it's very obvious her answer, but I'm still going to ask it. How is your dissertation going to impact the wider community? And why do you feel especially proud of your research?
Okay, I feel like because both Malta and Kuwait are growing economically, especially with construction and flats and apartments, there isn't an importance for the well-being of the people living in those countries. So hopefully people will understand that let's prioritize the well-being of people before the economic growth. But I mean, it's a capitalist world, so at least a balance.
Thank you. By the way, that was one question that is very likely to be asked in your viva, so at least you've practiced it at least once before. This program is in fact brought to you by the Department of Politics, Policy and Governance, and I think in all cases that we've had, but in these two special cases, we've really kind of highlighted the impact that your respective research is going to have on public policy. That's it for today. Thank you to Rauya and Vincenzo for joining us. Thank you also to Marka Juice for the technical assistance. Join me at the same time next week for the last episode of this first season. I'm Mirnat Sopardi-Wood, and I'll be back with you next week for PhD Unpacked on Campus 103.7.